Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Is it Wednesday yet?
No, it's actually not. We're taping this on a Monday night, a late Monday night here, but this is the podcast for Tuesday, October 17th, here on Locked On Pistons. This is your host, Matt Shook, as we count down one more day until Detroit Pistons basketball. The Pistons will start the season at home at Little Caesars Arena in the regular season debut of the downtown Detroit Arena, taking on the Charlotte Hornets at 7 o'clock on Fox Sports Detroit. The Pistons will then move on to a quick little East Coast swing where they'll take on the Washington Wizards on Friday night, and then the New York Knicks on Saturday night. Going to come home again on Monday night against Philly in a game that I hope to be at in downtown Detroit. That's the plan for now. So I'll have my notes for you about Little Caesars Arena and how the team is looking in the early going against a team that many figure could be the team that the Pistons are fighting for that last playoff spot with. And which brings us to our topic today. With the season right around the corner, actually basketball starting today with a couple of games on TNT between the Cavaliers and the Celtics, followed by the Rockets and the Warriors. It's interesting that as the season rolls on, the summer winds down, there gets to be some kind of a consensus among the basketball community of here are, especially when you have so many teams in the East that are bad, here are the 10 teams competing for the 8 Eastern Conference playoff spots. It maybe goes to about 11 or 12 deep in the Western Conference for teams that are legitimately fighting for playoff spots. Here are the 5 or 6 MVP candidates. Here are the 5 or 6 teams, or maybe in this case 2, possibly 1 team that has a chance of winning the championship. And we all kind of reach these consensuses about what's going to happen this season. So what we're going to do, this at the risk of sounding a little bit hot take-ish, we're going to make some bold predictions for the season. Following the, you know, the Zach Lowe had a column with 32 bold predictions in which he predicted a couple of things about the Pistons that we covered in Monday's podcast. We're going to make 5 of our own. 3 of them are going to be from around the league, and then 2 of them are going to be dealing with the Detroit Pistons. So I'm going to have my own bold predictions for you today of things to look out for in the NBA season.
Yes, sir!
Yes, sir, indeed. So we're going to go with some bold predictions, and starting off, we're going to talk about some disappointing teams and then a surprising team in terms of the playoff picture this year. So the first one, I'm going to start off in the Western Conference, and I'm going to say a team that has made the playoffs in each of the last 4 seasons and 7 of the past 9 will be left out in the cold this year, and that is the Portland Trailblazers. I predict that Terry Stotts and his group will not make the playoffs this season. If you look at the playoff picture, then we can all kind of agree that Golden State, Oklahoma City, Houston, and San Antonio are locks to make the playoffs in some kind of order, probably in that top 4. I think that Denver and Minnesota are pretty much understood to be in that next group as well. And then it's kind of up in the air for those last 3 spots, the Clippers being a team that most people have in, and then Portland being a team that most people have in as well. I'm going to say the Clippers and Portland are both going to miss the playoffs, and as well as Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, and the New Orleans Pelicans. I've got Memphis and Utah getting in those last 2 spots. The reason that I don't think Portland gets in is they've got a lot of mileage on CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard these last couple years in the backcourt, and I think that they're not good defensive players to start off with. And then when you add all the wear and tear that they've had, it's going to be problematic even more so in the backcourt. I saw some stats last year where CJ McCollum ran the most amount of miles throughout playoff games last season compared to, you know, the LeBron James, Kyrie Irvings, and Jimmy Butler of the leagues that are also up high on that list, that CJ McCollum was actually the highest one. So that's going to be a long season for him. And I think that they're going to really miss Alan Crabb's shooting. They had to make the deal to get rid of him to the Brooklyn Nets to shed some salary, especially when they're looking ahead to Nurkic becoming a restricted free agent next season. Nurkic, after they acquired him from Denver in the deal, he was great, obviously, for them in the post last season. But I think that his immaturity that he showed in his first wave of his career in Denver might kind of rear its ugly head a little bit, and that he might not be as reliable as a post option in his second year. I also think that the lack of moves that they made in terms of bringing in more young, exciting talent kind of fell flat. They brought in Zach Collins from Gonzaga. I think he's more of a project type that's probably going to project to be a pretty good player, but not right away for Portland. And I think they needed that. We saw that with the Pistons teams back in the Chauncey Billups era, that they weren't able to add the right types of infused young talent to kind of top off the core. And I think that with Portland, they needed some specific roles that needed to be filled. They needed some more shooting, and they didn't really get it. In the Western Conference, they're still a good team, but there's going to be some good teams that are left out of the playoffs in the Western Conference. Moving over to the East, a team that's a popular pick to not only make the playoffs, but possibly climb out of the bottom of that group and into maybe the middle of the Eastern Conference seating is actually a team that I think will not make the playoffs this year, and that's the Charlotte Hornets. That's right. The Pistons' opening night opponent on Wednesday night, Charlotte Hornets, they bring in Dwight Howard. They bring in Malik Monk, a draft pick that most all of us like there. But I'm going to say that that group is on the outside looking in for the playoff picture this year. Again, there's five teams in the East that pretty much everyone sees as a lock of getting into the playoffs when you got Cleveland, Boston, Washington, Milwaukee, and Toronto. And then you have the Detroits, Miamis, and Philadelphias, and Charlottes of the world going for those last three spots. And I'm going to say that Charlotte's the team that's left out. I think that they're losing Bellinelli's three-point shooting is going to hurt them. Obviously, Malik Monk will be expected to pick up the slack there with a little bit of those reserve backcourt minutes. But I just think that there's not really enough frontcourt talent there. Marvin Williams hasn't really progressed in his career like you might have wanted. Kid Gilchrist can't shoot at all, and that's going to be a problem as the floor kind of gets a little tighter on Kemba Walker as time goes on. I think that the Nick Batum injury is a bad sign, not only for karma and whatnot to start a season on the right foot, but also because, missing him for 8 to 10 weeks or whatever it's going to be, he's such an important contributor to that backcourt from the wing position that they need as much help as they can get right now. And I just don't see, I've heard a lot of analysts talk about how Charlotte's a team on the rise. I don't look at this roster and see that unless you're really in love with Malik Monk. But I think we know from watching rookies that not a lot of rookies step into to pretty good teams hoping to make the playoffs right away and make a huge impact. And of course, the elephant in the room is Dwight Howard. You bring in a guy like that will, he's poisoned locker rooms. Really, ever since he's left Orlando, he's gone into situations where teams have been excited to pick him up, and they've been disappointed with his stay there and really have been happy to see him get out of the franchise as much as possible. I think the way that Charlotte was able to acquire him as easily as they did this offseason is probably a pretty good sign that maybe things might not go as well as they hope for the Charlotte Hornets. So I'm going to take them as my second bold prediction to miss the playoffs. One team that I have certainly in the playoffs and in even better position than anyone else I've heard talk about is I think that the Washington Wizards are going to have a spectacular regular season. They're going to actually get the one seed in the Eastern Conference and make the conference finals in the East. Now, obviously, Cleveland and Boston are still prohibitive favorites over them going into the season to win the Eastern Conference over Washington. But we saw Cleveland last year kind of poo-poo the regular season a little bit, especially down the stretch. They valued rest more than going after that one seed, which allowed Boston to climb in there. I think Boston might take a little time to become the team that they're going to be come playoff time. I think that Brad Stevens, like everyone else, believes he's one of the best coaches in the NBA. But I think he's kind of learned that maybe in time that he's got a good enough team where they might have some growing pains, first of all, when you throw in two all-stars to that mix and Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving. But second of all, you got to be looking ahead to the postseason more. I think that them getting the one seed ultimately didn't help them very much come the postseason. And I think that Boston does some things and maybe has some issues melding each other, especially defensively as a group, that they might have a little bit more problems than maybe they're accustomed to or maybe that people might expect this season. Washington, on the other hand, it's a core group of guys that are used to each other. There's some continuity. They went to Game 7 in Round 2 last year and gave Boston all they could handle in Round 2. I think that that's something that as the conference finals started and as the finals went on, we all remember last year being that Golden State, dominated the playoffs, and that Cleveland had a relatively easy time with Boston in the conference finals after Boston got hit with some injuries, including, obviously, Isaiah Thomas. So it gets kind of lost in the shuffle how tough that Boston-Washington series was. And then you have Washington with their best players, their three best players right on the perimeter there, John Wall, Bradley Beal, and Otto Porter. And then you throw Kelly Oubre in there, too. These are all young guys that are trending upwards. This is a team that's on the direction up, and they are very motivated. Nobody's talking about them. I see no reason why they won't have a great record to start the season with that backcourt and being as motivated and as underappreciated around the league as they are. So I think that they're going to have a great start to the season. Yeah, they're a little weak in the front court. I'll give you that. And Markieff Morris is going to be out for a little while. But I think that that injury that he has might be a little bit of a blessing. It gives other front court guys a chance to maybe step up, or maybe Ian Mahimney or someone like that can resurrect his career a little bit and have a role on this team. But you can also maybe find some diamonds in the rough with some young guys in the front court. I'm looking at Chris McCullough as a guy who was a really good player at Syracuse for his one season there. And he had injury issues, which ended his season early. And then in the pros, he's had same kind of injury issues as well and hasn't really had a chance to develop. He had a strong preseason for them. I'm seeing him as possibly being a guy who could sneak in the back half of that rotation. And maybe they can find some other guys along the way. Or maybe there's a deal to be had with Washington adding up some front court depth or the piece that they need to kind of give them the puzzle. You know, we saw Rasheed Wallace came over to the Pistons and helped them win the championship. Maybe there's something like that in there. So, again, I see the Wizards getting the one seed and getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, making that next natural step of progression to the next level for them. I don't see any reason why that team has to take a step back, especially when you got, like I said, a Cleveland team that might be overlooking the regular season a little bit and could face some regular season turmoil and drama, as LeBron James teams seem to always have come winter time. And then a Boston team, which maybe have some growing pains with their new players, and as a coach that's kind of wising up and thinking long term a little more than the short term.
Detroit basketball!
So what about Detroit basketball? A couple of bold predictions to close out this edition of Locked On Pistons podcast. The last two bold predictions will have to do with your Detroit Pistons, as I'm going to steal the first one from Zach Lowe. He had it in his column of 32 bold predictions. I do think Avery Bradley, like he does, stays around, and I do think it's going to cost the Pistons an asset going forward to keep him to a long-term extension. Avery Bradley's coming in as a free agent next summer, and I think he does have a positive impact on the Pistons. I think he revamps the perimeter defense a little bit. I think he kind of reminds some fans. He could end up reminding fans of Joe Dumars in some ways. My brother pointed this out to me last night on the phone that, you know, he's about the size of Joe Dumars as well. He brings the defensive tenacity, but he's also capable of filling in and being your leading scorer on several nights. So I think that, especially with some complimentary pieces like Reggie Jackson, who could be up and down in production some nights to the others. Same thing with Andre Drummond and Tobias Harris. It's nice to have that Avery Bradley type who could go out and score a lot of points certain nights when you might need it. But like we talked about ad nauseum here, the Pistons have had salary cap problems this past summer and will continue to have them. So if you want to bring Avery Bradley back at close to a max deal or something like $16 million a year, $20 million a year or whatever going forward, the math doesn't work unless something has to give. Now, maybe that's making a decision on Stanley Johnson that you're not going to re-up him and give him the rookie scale extension that some of the guys are doing this summer. If he clashes with Stan Van Gundy, that's a real possibility. You might see him go in a trade next summer. Or the more likely scenario that Zach Lowe talked about in his article is that Tobias Harris ends up being the salary cap casualty for the Pistons. When you look at this roster, as we've talked about, everyone on the team is pretty much a little bit overpaid, or they're on a rookie scale, or they're Avery Bradley. And you want to bring back Avery Bradley which is going to cost you a lot of money. So Tobias Harris is one of those only Pistons right now whose production pretty much matches his contract. He's got 2 years left on his deal, and he could be a very valuable asset next summer as what he would then be an expiring deal at $14 million a season. So Tobias Harris could be a guy that could fetch you something, especially from teams that want something next year, possibly might look at re-signing him long-term, but also want to have that cap space available possibly in 2020 to go after what will be a nice class there. So for all those reasons, Tobias Harris could be a guy that could be on the move, especially if Avery Bradley enjoys his time in Detroit and the front office of the Pistons want to keep Avery Bradley here in the long term. So that could be another one there that happens, is my bold prediction of Avery Bradley sticking around a while and Tobias Harris possibly on the move. And my fifth bold prediction is pretty much the season wrap-up. I got the Pistons at 43-39, so four games over 500, which is pretty good. It's a five-game improvement over last year, but one game less in the win column than they were 2 years ago. So I think that they're back in the playoffs. I think that they can go as high as the sixth seed. If you're winning 43 games in the East, you're probably going to have at least one team in the East that's going to be 500 or below. So that 43 wins possibly could get you that sixth seed. And like I alluded to earlier, I think that Cleveland's a team that could fall down in the Eastern Conference standings a little bit during the regular season. So I see the Cavs getting that three seed and the Pistons going on a repeat matchup with LeBron James once again, this time at Little Caesars Arena. I see the Pistons putting up another good fight like they did in the first round 2 years ago, but of course ultimately falling short to LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and all the guys that they have over in Cleveland. Remains to be seen if Isaiah Thomas will be a factor for them in the second half of the season or not, but either way, certainly not going to bet against LeBron James in the playoffs. So I'll take the Pistons to win one game at home in front of the home crowd, unlike they did 2 years ago, and stretch it out to five games. And I think that they get that sixth seed. They have a pretty promising season. Stan Van Gundy earns a short contract extension as he only has 2 years left on his deal right now. Gets a little bit more time to work out his kinks in the salary cap that they have going forward. Maybe they even enlist some help next summer, demote him from president of the team, hand those reins over to someone else, as I don't think Jeff Bauer has final say like Stan Van Gundy has right now. So I think that's what I've got for the Pistons this year. But anyway, whatever way you think about it, whatever way you look at it, it's all good news this week because we've got regular season Detroit Pistons basketball starting on Wednesday night, in addition to the league slate starting tonight on Tuesday. So it's a great time of year. I know it's getting colder here in the Midwest, and we're not looking forward to that, but it's going to heat up in gyms around the country as basketball season is upon us. And I feel great about it, and I hope you do too. And I want to thank you for joining us during this preseason edition of Locked On Pistons. We'll have one more preseason podcast before we start rolling in the regular season. So thanks for joining us, everyone, and we'll talk to you soon.